The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
Hello and good morning. I'm Shelley Negrani. I'm a member of this congregation and your worship associate today. Together with our minister, Dave Dunn, just returned from sabbatical, Ayanna Coffey Stringer, our director of religious education, and Alex Peach, our music director, I welcome you to the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North congregation, which we lovingly call Human. A note about Zoom: to make the person speaking front and center on your screen, you will need to be in speaker view. In the top right-hand corner of your Zoom screen, you can toggle, go back and forth between speaker view and gallery view. Like many of you, I am saddened that we are not able to gather in person this morning. The worship committee is working hard to continue to create meaningful services remotely. Next week, we're going to premiere our latest effort, live streaming from the sanctuary. To be safe, only Reverend Dave, the worship associate, Alex, and the technical team will be there in person. And now, in the words of the Reverend Sherry Woodbury, welcome who come in friendship, who long for genuine community. May you be graciously received here as your authentic self. Welcome who come in curiosity, full of questions or simply open. May you embrace wonder and encounter new delights. Welcome who come heavy with fatigue, weary from the troubles of the world or the troubles of your particular life. May you rest and be filled in this sacred space. Amen. If you are visiting with us for the first time, a special welcome. Thank you for choosing to spend your Sunday morning with us. I have some announcements. Everyone is invited to join us for virtual coffee and conversation after the service at 10:45. The link for the gathering can be found on the homepage of our website. The worship committee needs help. If you have any skills that you would like to offer, or if you would like to learn how to provide live stream video, please, please let me know. We are a small group of people trying to do this big job, and all assistance would be most welcome. There is also a need for volunteers to help keep our campus beautiful. If you are seeking the Zen experience of mowing the lawn or doing gardening, please contact Susan Wilson or Mike Lieber-Gazelle. Parents and teachers, be on the outlook this week for an email from Ayana about this year's religious education program. It is time to begin rebuilding the hospitality committee for when we actually do go back to meeting in person. Please contact Amanda Brawley, who's our new program chair, if you are moved to be a part of this important committee. And our final announcement comes from the membership committee. Over to you, Ayana.
Good morning. My name is Ayana Kassi. I'm both Human's DRE and the membership coordinator. If you're new today, we'd love to have an opportunity to welcome you personally. Take a moment to visit the Human website at human.org. There on our homepage, you'll find our online visitor form. After filling it out, one of the incredible members of the membership team will contact you. For other ways to connect, come to Coffee and Conversation or Adult Religious Education that happens right after our services. You can also reach out to us at membership@human.org. We'd love to answer your questions and connect you with community members that have shared interests.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Elizabeth Rohan, and I think I might have the final announcement for this morning. As you know, we are not in person today. That should be obvious by now. But I wanted to just share from the COVID guidelines team that Donna Meltra and I make up, that we share your disappointment. I would like, though, to explain our new, we have the colors we've all known, the red, orange, yellow, blue, and rainbow. Those should be familiar to you by now, although we've been in only red and orange so far. But we have a new metric that we added, which is, and we call it plus V. So we're in red phase plus V. You can see the details of all of that online. But I wanted to let you know that the plus V is our vaccination rate at Human. And the good news is that of the 60% of households who responded to our survey, 90% of us are vaccinated. Actually, 90% of the people in the households are vaccinated. And that means that some of those unvaccinated family members are actually children below the age of 12. So we're a pretty vaccinated community. And so the plus V lets us in the red phase gather on campus with restrictions, outside with masks. And you can see all the details there. But we just wanted to make sure that everybody was clear and knew where to find the guidelines. And they're on the website, and there's a banner as well. So if you have any questions, reach out to Donna Meltzer or Elizabeth Rohan. We are all trying to keep you safe. And Tina Alexander is actually also on the team, who she implements a lot of the safety protocols. So We hope to see you on campus very soon, but know that, we share your frustration and we cannot wait to see you all in person. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. It is so good to be back with you all once again. I know it's only on Zoom. Yeah, we thought we'd be meeting in person by now, but we're just not there yet. The virus, as you know, has mutated, yet two can play that game. We can change and adapt too. Thank you, all of you, for hanging in there with us during this time, and special thanks to all those who put together some wonderful services over the summer. Only at a UU church do you get services about dingle hoppers in battles between Emerson versus Yoda, and there will be likely more of that again this coming church year. So welcome all, and now let us light our chalice together.
We light this flame as a reminder of our mission of being a light of the world, in unity with those who came before us, with whom we are a spiritual family. We shall be able to commit to the building of a community of free faith beyond geographical limits and personal beliefs. May we be a shelter to all who need it the most. Amen.
This morning's Wondering Time is Hair Love by Matthew A. Cherry, adapted by me, Ayana Kafi. Zuri has a head full of long, thick, curly hair. She loves how versatile it is, from braids with beads to afro puffs. There's nothing her hair can't do. On a very special morning, Zuri woke up early, all by herself, and tiptoed past an exhausted dad into the bathroom with Rocky the cat. She decided that since it's such a special day, she needed special hair too. She pulled up her mother's YouTube channel and started following a hair tutorial. Zuri's dad walked in just in time for the big reveal. Yikes. Her hair could only be described as a disaster. Dad assured Zuri that he could help. He grabbed some products, some tools, and set to work. Double yikes. From rubber bands popping to hair dominating the pick, the perfect style just wasn't coming together. I can relate. Finally, Zuri's dad pulled a winter hat onto her head, hoping that this would be the end. Zuri burst into tears. Fortunately, Zuri is clever. She showed Dad the YouTube tutorial. He concentrated, brushed, parted, oiled, and twisted. Finally, Dad finished, and Zuri's hair looked incredible. If I didn't previously mention, it was a very special day. This was the day that Zuri's mother would come home from the hospital. Mom, the YouTube natural hair star, had gone bald from chemo. When she arrived, her head was wrapped in a beautiful silk scarf. She hugged Zuri in the way that only someone who truly loves you does. She admired Zuri's beautifully styled hair, a style that Mom created herself. And Zuri handed her mom a hand-drawn picture of a woman with a shiny bald head with a crown on top. Take this with you. Like Zuri, we have endless daily opportunities. Some opportunities are huge, and some come down to how we show up for a single hairstyle, or even how we show up together.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Miriam Patanian, and I'm the Vice President to Human's Board. I'm honored today to extend the warmest of welcomes to Ayanna Cuffey as Human's Director of Religious Exploration. She added this important role to her plate in July. She, as you know, had already been our membership coordinator, and now we get to experience Ayanna's gifts, both from a membership perspective and with our children and youth. And as a mom of two youth, I cannot be more excited. Ayanna comes to us from as the youth coordinator from the UUCA, and she has a wealth of experience with UUA, different groups, including the DRUM, the Diverse Revolutionary UU Multicultural Ministries, or DRUM. I encourage you to get to know Ayanna, and I look forward to hearing how she'll be shaping our religious exploration for our youth and children in the months and years to come. Welcome, Ayanna.
Now is the time in the service when the ties that bind us together are spoken aloud. If you have a joy or a sorrow that you would like to share this morning, please raise your hand and then unmute yourself when you're called on. You can raise your hand by clicking on the participants button on the bottom center of your screen. Then a window should pop open on the right-hand side of the screen, and in the bottom right corner of that window, there should be a button that says raise hand. So when you are called on and when you have unmuted yourself, please say your name, and I will drop a pebble into the water as you share what you would like us to hold for you.
I see Randy with his hand up.
Good morning. It's so good to see everybody. I just want to let you know that as of Friday, I have reached aspirant status with the UUA, which is the next step on my journey towards ordination. And I just want to thank this incredible congregation for your support and standing with me as I do this thing that I still can't believe that I'm doing sometimes. So thank you all.
Bruce, you had your hand up.
Oh, I was just applauding. But thank you.
Okay. Well, I dropped this final pebble for those joys and sorrows that are not yet spoken out loud. If you were not ready to go be on Zoom, speak on Zoom, please feel free to add your joy or sorrow into the chat during the following musical interlude.
In a routine dive off the coast of South Africa, naturalist Craig Foster comes across this unique object. It's on the lagoon floor is a pile, a cairn of seashells. He'd never seen anything like that before. What creature could possibly have made such a thing, and why? He swims closer to get a closer look. And suddenly, the seashells tumble away, and beneath this cairn of seashells jettisons an octopus fleeing. What does that mean? What was that octopus doing? Well, later in this documentary film called My Octopus Teacher, Mr. Foster comes to understand. This assembled cairn pile of seashells is actually a disguise. The octopus is shape-shifting. He's currently being pursued by a shark, and the shark is relentless. And the octopus is getting tired. So what does he do? He goes down to the lagoon floor, grabs a bunch of seashells, and buries himself in them. Actually, an exhausted octopus, looking so assembled with seashells, sometimes climbs onto the back of the very shark that is hunting the octopus. It's actually a safe place to rest. Which reminds me, that reminds me of a Toni Morrison line where she writes, "The only way to avoid the hand of God is to get in it." Or in this case, to get on her back and let her carry you. A shark can be relentless and fierce, yet an octopus can be a shapeshifter, clever and adaptable. So here we are, still not meeting in person, still attending via Zoom or eventually some other physically distanced platform. The pandemic has been relentless. It's now affecting our third church year. It's hard to believe. And the future is uncertain. You know, I can remember sitting in my office with the board after a Sunday service, and we were discussing what will we be doing the following week. Would we be doing the hand of friendship, or possibly the elbow of friendship, or possibly nothing at all? This was in light of this new pandemic that had arrived in the United States. I can't remember what was decided, because you know it didn't matter what was decided, because that was March 8th, 2020, and that was the final Sunday that we actually had service in person at UMIN. The pandemic has been relentless, infecting 35 million people, resulting in over 600,000 deaths in the United States, infecting over 200 million people, resulting in 4.25 million deaths worldwide. And it's not over yet. And as we all know, the virus has mutated. Organisms are always mutating, looking for ways, new ways to evolve and get stronger. Yet two can play that game. Although we'd like nothing more than to rest and to get back to normal, we as individuals and as a congregation must continue to be clever, to adapt, to shape shift. I know it's exhausting. Our worship team knows that very well. Yet like the octopus, that's what's necessary just to stay in the game. Speaking of games, now that you brought it up, about 20 years ago, I was watching a football game on TV, and I was watching this particular play when a runner was carrying the ball. Big running back was carrying the ball, and between him and the end zone was just one smallish defensive player. Smallish on football field is maybe a relative term, but smallish defensive player. And the camera angle was such that the runner was coming directly at us. We were like in the end zone. And all you could see was the back of this defensive player. He was number 36, that's all I know. But this huge running back just runs him over. And miraculously, the defender makes the tackle. Actually, he was probably helpless. The guy probably just tripped over him. But in the process of the tackle, the defender's legs got trapped behind him and underneath. And I had to wince and look away, because legs are not supposed to bend in that direction. Yet after the play, that defensive player popped right back up and walked back to the huddle as if nothing had happened, as if he were made of some kind of elastic. And I had to say, what? How did you not just pop every ligament in both your knees and your ankles? Actually, the announcers said much the same thing. They couldn't believe it. From that day forward, I started doing a yoga practice, and now I do it about 3 to 4 times a week, still 20 years later. Because I want to at least give myself a chance to be able to pop right back up, to stay in the game when I fall, when accidents happen, when life runs me over. Now, there's never any guarantees that I won't pop right back up, and nothing ever lasts forever. This body and, yeah, your body, not gonna last forever. But at least I want to prepare myself to give myself a chance when life happens. And amongst this pandemic, life is happening now. Amongst this pandemic, death is happening now. And again, it's time for us to adapt, to shapeshift, to be elastic, so that when COVID runs us over and then puts it in reverse and runs us over again and again, which it seems to be doing, so that when this happens, we can pop right back up and stay in the game. Although author and psychologist Susan Jeffers was writing about fear, I'm going to substitute COVID in the following quotation. She wrote, "We cannot escape COVID. We can only transform it into a companion that accompanies us on all our exciting adventures." Companion? It sounds strange, almost blasphemous to think of COVID as a companion. Yet I believe that the healthiest people, those living the fullest, most vibrant lives, frame the most unsavory yet undeniable aspects of our existence in precisely this manner. They frame fear, anxiety, sickness, death as inevitable, undeniable companions on life's journey. COVID, my companion, there you are, I see you. They may not like these companions. In fact, I'm sure they don't like those companions. None of us do. Yet they've learned to be comfortable with them. And rather than put these unsavory aspects of our existence out of our minds, rather than deny their existence, instead, we should probably face them and acknowledge them as companions. And when we do, we might come to realize that all along, we've been swimming in some very deep waters, in some heavy seas, with these companions all along. And there are no navigational charts to follow when they're by our side. Sometimes we simply have to make it up as we go, to stay afloat, to stay in the game. You know, the holy books don't really say anything about COVID-19. I looked, I read them all. There's nothing in there. Making it up as we go is what's called for. I'm inspired by Susan Jeffers' words in that she insists that not only do we treat these unsavory aspects of life as companions, but also that we accept that they are to accompany us on all our exciting adventures. Yes, exciting adventures. Despite COVID, fear, or even the face of death, there are exciting adventures to be had. We're not dead yet. Of course, this does not mean that we merely throw caution to the wind and adapt some reckless, devil-may-care-come-what-may attitude in the face of these companions. No, we need to be responsible, vigilant, take precautions, follow the guidelines. We need to take time to prepare ourselves, to do our metaphorical and communal yoga. We need to take the time to adapt and shapeshift, to make it up as we go, and amongst all the uncertainty, to be comfortable doing so. May it be so.
So we did today's service as a Zoom so that we could virtually see and be with each other. Now we would like to open it up to any of you who would care to share a brief experience as to when you had to make it up as you go or as you went in past tense, whatever the tense. Please relate an experience in which you had to make it up to be adaptable, flexible, or elastic. Just as a reminder, you can raise your hand by clicking on the participants button in the bottom center of your screen. It will then pop open a window on the right-hand side of the screen, and in the bottom right-hand corner, there'll be a button that says raise hand. So please raise your hand and then unmute yourself when you are called on. Thank you.
Hey, Shelley, I'm going to make it up as I go. Let's do an audible here and forget the hand raising. I think people have a little trouble with it. Just when you're ready to talk, unmute yourself. And if somebody else is talking, wait till they finish. How about that? You okay with that, Shelley?
I think that's a great idea. Thank you. The hand raising is the hard part.
It is.
I can start. This is Elizabeth Rohan. I was interviewing for my very first job at a grad school, and it was a social work job at Mass General Hospital. And, you know, that was back in the days when you had to actually go to the library to do research on a company that you were, you know, interviewing for instead of just Googling it because Google didn't exist. And at one point in the interview, and again, this was a hospital social work job, and the director of the social work department asked me what I knew about Mass General. And so, you know, if you live in Boston long enough, you know a lot about Mass General. A great hospital, et cetera, et cetera. So I just said all these things that any person walking down the street would have been able to tell. So when I finished, she said, well, did you know that hospital and medical social work was started here at Mass General? And I panicked and I said, uh-oh. So I had to make it up as I went along. What was I going to do? And so I said, no, I didn't know that, but that would have been a really good thing for me to have known, wouldn't it? And she laughed and I laughed and I got the job. So I really definitely made that up as I went along, but I was glad that it worked out.
I have one I'd like to share on behalf of Bob Pop. This is me, Dave. I'm not spotlighted right now. Papa's on his way back from, he said, if I did join, I could certainly talk about getting COVID after arriving here. Since then, we've been making it up as we go and trying to recover. I've been trying to recover and not infect Rosie, but also help to support her at the same time. I would also say that our efforts to help our daughter Kenya as she struggles with mental illness and drug abuse is another case of completely figuring it out as we go along. Each day brings us new situations and new challenges which we are unprepared to deal with in a straightforward way. That's from Bob Pop.
Well, I'll go if nobody else is ready to. When we went to Russia to adopt our two kids, we had figured out that, you know, we thought we were in control, and we thought we'd had figured out that we wanted two kids under the age of two. We wanted a boy and a girl, and, you know, it was all good. And we get there, and of course, we meet all these children, and it's just not ringing a bell, and we don't feel the chemistry, and we are, you know, to some extent stuck into our guns that this is what we want. And then eventually one of the doctors comes to us and say, well, we have a boy here that is a little older than what you're looking for, but if you want to be flexible and take a look at this boy, maybe, you know, just maybe. And we did. And of course, we ended up with Luca. So we had to give up control, be flexible, and we went along with it, and we got one of our best gifts.
Hi, everybody. This is Michelle. I feel like I've been making it up for the last couple of years. You know, things have been kind of rough and bumpy in my life, but one specific example is 2019, most of 2019, I was unemployed. And, you know, supposedly it was this great job market, but I just could not find a job. So I did eventually end up with one after, you know, a year of being unemployed. And it was a friend who made a space for me in her company, which did corporate training. So in October of 2020, she suddenly passed away, and the company was going to be closed at the end of 2020. And so I was, you know, I was terrified of going back into the job market, to the point that instead of going back into the job market, I decided to try running my own business. You know, her business closed. So I kind of picked up the pieces of what that training company was doing and put together this this new training company. I had no idea what I was doing. You know, I had worked with these people for a while, so I had a general idea, but I definitely just kind of had to make it up as I was going. And I continue to do that. You know, it's, what are we in? We're in August, so the company started in December, so it's not even a year. So I feel like every day really is about just figuring out the next thing to get us through this day, make, you know, the current class the best that it can be. And, you know, so far it's being successful. You know, I hopefully won't have to continue to just make it up and maybe finally start to figure out how to do this. But it's an adventure I never expected, but it's been a good one so far. Thanks.
I'll have a turn if nobody else wants to go before me. There have been two instances, well, three, but I'm going to talk about two instances in my life where I was caught off guard on every level. Hearing Dave talk about Bob and his family reminded me of when my oldest son, who's now 29, my only son, Johnny, was taken away from home by the police because he was selling drugs out of my house. And I didn't know what to do. And so the only thing I could think of was to call my dad. And he gave me a piece of advice that really was very helpful. And the other one was when I had to drop Gus off at St. Joe's in April of last year, in when COVID was raging and we didn't know what precautions were working and what weren't. And he had pneumonia and we thought he had COVID. And when I asked the pulmonologist, physician's assistant at work, what to do, he said, I hope you have your life in order because you may never see him again. And so I called my dad again. And the reason I bring these two events up is because I didn't know what to do, and nor did anybody else around me in my life. But I knew that I could find support and solace in the person that would die for me, and that's my dad. Thanks.
Is there anyone else that would like to share with us? Okay. Well, thank you all who, that was just such a moving time for me. I'm a little reclamped. In an effort to fulfill and further the vision and mission of this congregation, we now ask that our members and friends bring forth and share their many and varied gifts. This morning's offering will now be received using the Givelify app. Thank you.
as I go.
We extinguish this chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
May we have the courage, the flexibility, the elasticity to transform this pandemic into a companion, an unsavory companion, yet a companion nonetheless, one that will not stop us from living our lives to the fullest, one that will not stop us ministering to our mission and vision, one that will not stop us pursuing all our exciting adventures. Go in peace and enjoy your week.